Well, it's great that we can come to this final Sunday of our gifts program. The message today is entitled Shaped to Build. Last Sunday I wasn't with you. I was actually speaking down at the church in Thames Valley. And it was great just to be down there with Tim Dannett and Siobhan and the brothers and sisters down there. And it's a fantastic time together. They were celebrating Father's Day, and they had an opportunity for all the dads to stand, and they had these chocolates at the front, and all the children would then come to the front and take a chocolate bar and give it to their dad. And none of my children were there, so Siobhan suggested we get some of the other kids to go and get some chocolates for me, and that was very, very nice. And I said, you know, I've got six children, so if you can... I ended up with six chocolate bars. It was fantastic. But then I came back here and I heard also that we did something similar, that we had chocolate bars for the dads. Was it one chocolate bar per child given to the parents? I want to know why I only got one chocolate bar last week from the East. My son gave it to me, and I appreciate him, good-hearted. But I have to question what happened to those other two chocolate bars. But it was great just to go to celebrate Father's Day with the family. You know, my son in the morning, just before I left, he was so eager. In fact, the day before, he was telling me, Dad, I've got a surprise to you. And I knew what it was, Father's Day. Can I tell you what it is? I said, no, just wait till tomorrow. I really want to tell you. And he's just so excited about his little gift and everything. I said, no, wait till tomorrow. He said, oh, something to eat, Dad. I said, that's great, wait till tomorrow. The next day he came and at 7 o'clock in the morning, Dad, I've got this gift for you, and he gave me a chocolate bar, and it was a Tesco's Value milk chocolate bar, and I was so proud of him, a child off my own heart. He's learning, he's very good. But you know, actually later, Julie came to me afterwards and said, you know, actually, she said, he saved up his pocket money and bought that himself. And which, it made it even more special at that point. But you know, it's funny, driving to church this morning, we're in the car, and there was a car right in front of us, and on the back it had one of these stickers, Perfect Family On Board. And Sarah was like, come, drive past so we can see the perfect family. They're not perfect. You know, Jesus in Matthew 5, he talks about how we are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Of course, the word perfect means it can be complete or mature. But the whole idea is that we are called to grow. We are called to maturity. We are called to a specific goal. And, you know, as we talk about being shaped to build, turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, a passage that we're very familiar with now after this 10-week program. Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible tells us in verse 16, and I'm reading from the Holman translation, it says, from him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. The Bible says that the whole body, fitted and knit together, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. You know, individually, we are far from perfect. But together, as a family, we can build up the body of Christ and go on to maturity. We had our family devotional on Monday night, and we were talking about, just following on from Father's Day, just this whole idea of, you know, the first commandment given with a promise attached to it was, honour your father and mother, that it may go well with you in the land. And how God held up just the role of parenting and of parental authority, and how children were called to be obedient to their parents and to respect and obey their father and mother, and how God is our father, and we also are called to respect, honour and obey our Heavenly Father. But if we were talking about this in our family devotional, we were just talking about just the need just to respect the parents and to obey and everything else. And we're just, as we were discussing this, we're just talking about just this whole idea of just loving each other within the family, and we're talking about just some recent arguments that have taken place and everything else, but just the need to, just to really have a proper respect for God's plan for within the family. And you know, one of my girls was, she was saying how, you know, there's an issue that was going on, and she was saying how struggling to resolve it, and she wanted to talk to Mum about it, but Mum was busy. And I said, well, why don't you come to me? And she said, I didn't want to come to you because I wanted to go to Mum because Mum would listen more. And Dad said, no offence, but you just want to have a quick solution to any problems. And, you know, if we said this, then and then she gave an example of something that happened just the day before. And there was this argument and this disagreement, and I overheard, and I stepped in and I said, look, it was no an issue about one person or another person, £3.65, and I was like, look, I'll give you the money myself, and that'll be the end of it. And, you know, she said it wasn't about the £3.65 or whatever it was. That wasn't the issue. It was an underlying issue, but you just want a quick solution. And it struck me, I thought, you know, that's so true. And at that point I thought, that's why I need my wife. Because on my own, I have all my flaws and my weaknesses, and, you know, we are far from the perfect family. But together, when we're working with one another, then we can compensate for each other's flaws and weaknesses. But, you know, that's the same in the church, isn't it? How any one of us individually, we are weak on our own, but together we're strong and we can build the body up as every part does its work. But what's required is every part does its work. I hope if there's one thing you take away from this 10-week program is that you individually are indispensable. That there's not a single one of you in this room that we as a body can do without comfortably. It doesn't work that way. We are all required. God has blessed us all with unique talents, gifts, abilities, and life experiences that we can contribute towards the maturing of the body as a whole. But we're all essential, every one of us. And not a one of us can think, oh, I'm not required, or it doesn't matter if I'm not there, or people aren't going to miss me. We miss you. We need you. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. The whole body is not a single part that can say, oh, I'm not needed. Or that the rest of the church can say to that one individual, we don't need you. It doesn't work that way. We are all essential. You know, next week we're going to be beginning the third quarter program. And that the focus for the next 3 months is going to be on fun and fellowship. Fun and fellowship. Fellowship, you just show up. Fun, you will have fun. No, but we're going to just enjoy being together. And we want to be able to build and deepen our relationships with one another. And you know, next week we won't be here. We're going to be at our retreat together. And that's going to be a tremendous time. And I'm looking forward to that enormously. But we're going to have the talent show on the Saturday night. And you know, the talent show, we have an opportunity to showcase some of our unique talents, gifts, and abilities. And you know, yesterday I was chatting with my daughter Hannah. We were talking about, Dad, are you going to do something in the talent show? And I was like, well, I'm not really sure. I was asked to, and you know, and you know, you feel kind of a pressure. And she said, come, Dad, we can do a magic show together. As we were talking, we were spending time together, and we were talking about what we could do. And Hannah was saying, you know, you could saw someone in half. And I was thinking, now that's going to require special equipment. Not to say you've got to be able to put them back together again. And I thought, that could go down well, or it could be real disastrous. And so we'll avoid that. But we're coming up with all these other suggestions about what we can do. And so we're thinking about the magic show. And then yesterday evening, Sarah and I were talking about the karate. She caught me in the living room, and I'm supposed to be doing this karate demonstration with Mike Black Belt Olu, who's master of death, and I'm supposed to be taking part in that karate demonstration there, and you know, I'm so rusty, I've not been practicing my katas and everything else. So there I was in the living room practicing some of my karate katas for next week, and Sarah came and said, Dad, why are you practicing in the dark? And I was like, well, because I'm so out of practice, I hate to look at myself doing it. And so, but you know, I just trying to get in shape. But you know, the whole idea is it's going to be a lot of fun. And you know, some of you have some hidden talents that you're embarrassed to showcase. Let me encourage you, come forward. And let's just contribute towards just the encouragement of the body. But the whole idea is that we want to just to build one another up in love. You know, when it comes to building, someone said that the three most important things, if you're going to build a house or a building or whatever, the three most important things to remember is number one, location. Number two, location. And number three, location. And that, in some ways, that's true. Even if, when you're buying a house, that location is crucial. And when it comes to us building the body, but especially when we start to build our own lives, the question comes is, where are we? Because our location is crucial. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, look over there. In Colossians chapter 1, all of that was just the introduction, by the way. Three things I want to talk about. Number one is location. Colossians chapter 1, let's pick up here in verse 13. The Bible tells us he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, if we are not in Christ, then really we're in trouble. The Bible tells us that it's in the kingdom of God's Son that we have redemption. It's in the kingdom of God's Son that we have forgiveness of sins. Where we are is essential. And if we are going to build something that is going to be of eternal significance and value, we have to be in Christ. We have to be in Christ. So how do we get into Christ? Galatians 3, 26 and 27 tells us that we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of us who are baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, when the people were cut to the heart by Peter's sermon, and they asked, well, what shall we do? He said, you need to do two things. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We come into Christ when we are baptized into Christ, when we've repented and we're baptized and our sins are then forgiven and we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of God's Son where there is redemption. And we come into the light. But see, we have to be in Christ. And so you've got to ask yourself the question, well, where are you today? You know, it's interesting because you can tell, you say, well, where am I? I'm right here in Wanston School. You know, you can be somewhere, you can be even with the body, and yet your heart and mind can be somewhere else. When I was a kid going to church, sometimes I would just imagine that I wasn't at church. So I would be there sitting in the service, but my mind would be elsewhere. And I'll be in some far-off fantasy world, living out my own heroic role of saving the universe. And I would literally, it would almost like I would just be somewhere else, just daydreaming. And so though I was meant to be in church, my body was present, but my mind was somewhere else. You know, we can be here all together, but our hearts can be somewhere else. You know, Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 6, in fact, actually, look over there, Matthew chapter 6. Look what Jesus has to say. He says in verse 19, he says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, you can tell where a person's heart is really at by where they spend most of their time, or where they spend most of their money, or where they put most of their energy or spend most of their resources. And that really can determine where is a person at. You know, if someone wants to look at your life and examine the way you spend your time or the way you spend your resources or the way you put all your efforts or your energy, what would that tell them? What would it reveal about where you are really at? In fact, if you were to take a moment right now and think for yourself, even say the last 7 days, what have I been most focused on? Where has my heart really been? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much success or achievements we can accomplish in this lifetime. If we are not in the right place, if we are not in Christ, then it's ultimately all meaningless. And it's all empty. You know, it's only when we have a close encounter with death does it really open up our eyes for what's really important in life. Even just this last couple of days, just with the death of Michael Jackson. You know, I'd, as a surprise for my children, I'd actually paid for 3 tickets for a Michael Jackson concert next month for my kids. I was thinking, this is going to be his last. It's going to be his last concert, apparently. And I figured, hey, my children, this will be a memory for them that will last a lifetime. And so I bought 3 tickets. I wasn't going to pay for myself or Julie because it's way expensive. But I thought, this is something which they can remember growing up. And you know, it's amazing how many people have invested so much. And then they realize it's easily taken away. We have to make sure that we're in the right location. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says that if we are in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come, and we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. In fact, in verse 20, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are called to be in Christ, but once we come into Christ, then the old has gone. Whatever it was we were living for in the past, that's no longer of what is most significant in our lives anymore. Instead, we've been given a new service, a new ministry, that of reconciling the lost to God. And that should be our focus. That should be our purpose, our mission. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about how some people water, some people plant, but ultimately it's God who makes it grow, but we all have the same purpose. And though we may have different gifts and different roles and different convictions and passions, we all share exactly the same ministry of reconciliation. Where have you been recently? And are you in a good place? Location is important, but you know, another crucial thing when it comes to building is foundation. Foundation. In fact, let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Recently, Sarah's just finished her A-levels, and so she wanted to, while she finished her A-levels, and between, in this gap between waiting for the results, going to university, she figured, let me learn a few things. So she started learning the guitar and wanted to get some skates so she could learn to skate. And so I looked on the internet to get her some skates, and I found a really excellent pair for 99p on the eBay. These inline skates, and actually really good value. And new, they cost something like over £90, but this person was getting rid of them, and they came with pads as well. You got knee pads and wrist guards. And so I picked them up and gave them to Sarah as a present, and then I thought, you know what? I used to skate when I was a kid. I used to have roller skates back when I was 13 years old. And at my boarding school, I would skate from one boarding house to another, and you know, because it's quite long distance apart. And I thought, I wouldn't mind getting back into that. Let me see if I can find a pair for myself. And so I looked on the internet, and I found a pair. 99p. Similar make to Sarah's. I thought, let me get those. And so I got those, and I picked those up, and you know, 2 days ago I tried them on. And yeah, these are inline skates. They're not like the old roller skates where you've got your 4 wheels and, you know, your stopper at the front and everything else. These are just inline skates, and mine didn't even have a stopper on the back. And so I put these things on, and honestly, I took them off again after 5 minutes. I could hardly stand up. I was like, this is nothing like I remember it. And of course, it's very, very different. It's very unstable. You know, if you are not steady, if you don't have a steady foundation, you can't accomplish anything. You know, even doing this karate, one of the very first lessons that they teach you at karate is how to make a proper stance. Because you have to be well grounded in order to be able to initiate any move, whether it's a defense or attack, but you've got to have a proper stance. And having a solid foundation is crucial in building. And we all know this. We all know that if you want to build high, you've got to dig deep. You've got to have a firm foundation. Well, in Christ, the only foundation is Jesus himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's pick up here in verse 10. According to God's grace that was given to me as a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it, because no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid. That is, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. But he will be saved. It will be like an escape through fire. You know, Paul says, like a master builder, with the skill that God has given me, he says, I've laid a foundation and another builds on it. Paul, along with the other apostles, we read in Ephesians 2:20, they laid a foundation, and that foundation was Jesus Christ. And that was that foundation. The church is being built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And we have that foundation right here. We have the Word of God in our hands. And this has to be the foundation on which we build our lives. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. He says that it's not enough just to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, but you've got to be following the will of God. And then he tells a story about the wise and foolish builders. And he talks about the one who built on sand, and he said the one who built on sand is the one who hears the word of God but doesn't put it into practice. Whereas the one who built on the solid foundation, the rock, is the person who hears the word of God and applies it to his life, puts it into practice. How are we doing in terms of our foundation? First of all, it has to be Jesus Christ. There can be no other foundation. Any other foundation is doomed to failure. But we have to build on Christ, but also we've got to apply his words to our lives. Sometimes we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're on a solid foundation simply because we have a Bible and we read it. But you know, in James chapter 1, the Bible tells us that we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves because we can have the Bible, but if we don't put it into practice, then we were like the person who looks in the mirror and forgets what he's looked at and goes away unchanged. We have to be applying the Bible. It's like I heard about a Bible quiz team that won this competition in the States. It was made up of teenagers. And there's this competition between various churches, and apparently there's one team which was so far out in front that the quiz master would ask a question, and this quiz team, they as soon as the question was asked, they could quote book, chapter and verse. And they were so far ahead of the competition, they won easily. And it was an interstate competition in America. And on their way home, they stopped off at a place, and they were all staying over at some church hall that they were sleeping over in. In the middle of the night, this group of teenagers who won this Bible competition, they snuck out, and they went into the local town, and they started to vandalize some of the property. And they were just messing around as kids do. But you know, what was interesting was, here's a bunch of kids who knew the Bible so well but were just not applying it to their lives. What about us? In fact, one of the things that really impressed me when I first came to the church was the fact that people knew the Bible well. Sadly, I believe that we've let go of a lot of the emphasis we had on just really memorizing Scripture. And you know, in the final quarter of this year, one of the things we want to do is just to really focus on just getting back into the Scriptures and really making that the focus of the end of the year. But just out of interest, we're halfway through the year. How many of us in this room, how many of us have ever read through the entire Bible? Okay, that's probably about 50% of us. You know, you can read through the whole Bible. It doesn't take long. In fact, if you were to read simply 12 pages a day in the Bible, you would finish it in 90 days, in 3 months. It wouldn't take long at all, just 12 pages a day. They have this program called Reading the Bible in 90 Days online, where you can even listen. You don't even have to read it yourself. You can actually just listen to someone else read it for you online. And it takes about 58 minutes a day, and in 90 days you'll finish the whole Bible.
You know, when you think about it that way, it doesn't actually sound that much, does it? But how much are we actually reading the Bible? How much are we getting into the Word of God? And more than that, how much are we actually applying it to our lives? And, you know, the way to know how you're doing is you ask a friend. Because again, it's so easy for us to think we're doing okay, and for us to simply start taking things for granted and make assumptions. It was Emerson who said that if the stars came out only once a year, that we would all stay up all night to watch them. But the thing is, because we're so accustomed to seeing the stars, we don't longer pay any attention and we take no notice. And that's so true of so many of God's blessings in our lives, none more so than the Word of God. That it's become so commonplace that we kind of neglect it. And it no longer has that specialness that it needs to in our life. I'd encourage us just even to be pairing up with people and asking, so how am I doing? And just talk about your life. And that's part of the focus of this next quarter, is just the need for having those kinds of relationships in our lives. So that we can make sure that we're building each other up and that we're growing the way that God wants us to grow. We need to be building on a firm foundation. You know, there's a verse I read in my quiet time just yesterday in Isaiah chapter 7. And you don't need to turn there, but in verse 9 where he simply says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. We have got to make sure we have a firm foundation. And that foundation is firmly and grounded on the Word of God. That we're reading it, we're studying it, that we're applying it to our lives. And we're doing our best to actually put it into practice. Let's close out finally in Luke chapter 14. Talk about location, talk about foundation. Now we're going to talk about dedication. Luke chapter 14. You know, for us as a church, our goal is we want to make sure that we are growing. We want to make sure that we're fulfilling the mission, the ministry that we've been given, that of reconciliation. We want to make sure that each one of us has the opportunity to really reach the potential that God has blessed us with. You know, recently we've been trying to decide whether to continue to meet here on a Sunday or to meet in Lammas School on a Sunday. And you know, I've spoken to most of you in the congregation, and the rest of the leadership team has spoken to many of you in the congregation. And you know, we've had to weigh up what is going to be most helpful. To be very honest, neither location is ideal. There are pros and cons for both venues. But you know, when we were examining on the whole, what's our main mission and what's our main purpose, and our desire ultimately is we want to not only build up the church, but we also want to fulfill this ministry of reconciliation. And what is going to help us do that most effectively? That we're weighing up all the different factors about what is going to be the ideal place. And we decided at the end of it all that for now we want to continue meeting right here in Wanstead School on a Sunday. We've not decided yet as to whether or not it's going to be suitable for a Friday night midweek meetings. And again, we're still making decisions on that. But ultimately, the thing that really swayed us was just this whole idea of what is going to really help us to have the biggest impact, both in terms of the people that we're reaching out to and in terms of just the members of the congregation. Where we are right now is actually the epicenter of the location of where our membership is located. And most people we spoke to, when we talked about where should we meet, their first thought was, what's going to be easiest for me? Or what's going to be easiest for my friends? You know, it's not about us. It's not about what's easiest for us. Ultimately, it's what's going to help us be most effective for God. And in Luke chapter 14, look what Jesus says here about building. Let's pick up here in verse 25. Or actually, verse 28. He says, "For which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to make fun of him, saying, 'This man started to build and wasn't able to finish.'" Now, Jesus says, you know, when you build a tower,
When you embark on a project, he says you've got to first sit down and calculate the cost. You've got to make sure that you're going to be able to see it through to the very end. That you have got to be willing to commit yourself and to be totally dedicated and fully committed to ensure that you don't stop halfway. That our mission in following Christ is we give 100%. That it's absolutely everything, that we hold nothing back. In fact, he goes on to share about two kings going to war, and he said the only way forward for the person who has less, smaller army, is total surrender. And that's what it has to be for us in every aspect of our Christian life. There's got to be a sense of I'm totally committed and totally dedicated, regardless of the challenges and regardless of the costs involved. That I want to be in the right location, I want to have the right foundation, I've done my calculation and now I'm ready for the dedication. And that needs to be our heart and our spirit. That we are willing to give everything and to serve God the way He has called us, the way He has called us to. You know, about 35 years ago, there was a Frenchman by the name of Philippe Petit, who's a high wire artist in France, and he came up with a plan to tightrope walk across the Twin Towers in New York. And so he and his team, they devised a means by which they could do this, and it involved hiding equipment in the building. And this is back in 1974. And it involved all kinds of things. And then late at night, on the 6th of August, they came out at night. They managed to make their way onto the roof of the South Tower. And then they were able to run a line across from the South Tower to the North Tower. And they did this by means of a bow and arrow and firing across a fishing line between the buildings. And they gradually pulled this fishing line all the way across. And they used that fishing line to pull across a piece of string. That piece of string they used to pull across a bigger piece of string, then a rope, and then ultimately a steel cable. And then they were able to fix the steel cable across the other side. And they did this all throughout the night. And then 7 o'clock the next morning, Philippe Petit got out onto this wire and he walked across from one tower to the next. And then he walked back again. And then he went back again. And he did this 8 times. For 45 minutes, he's walking backwards and forwards before the police and helicopters and news reporters and everything else eventually forced him to come off. But whilst he was on there, he was walking up and down. At one point, he got down on his knees on this high wire. This is a quarter of a mile above the streets of Manhattan. And he's got down on his knees and he was doing salutes to the helicopters flying past. And then he lay down on the wire. This thin wire, he lay down on it and he started speaking to some seagulls that were circling above and having a little chat, and then he got up and he started doing a little dance, and then eventually he came off. 2 months later he was practicing down in Florida on another high wire, and this one's only about 30 feet off the ground, and he fell and injured himself. And whilst he was lying on the ground, all the witnesses there, they heard him crying, "I never fall, I never fall, I never fall." And afterwards he admitted, he said, "You know, the only reason I fell was because I wasn't paying attention to the details." He said that when it came to the World Trade Center, he said the big job was much more important to me than the little one. And you know, in our Christianity and in our lives, it's so easy for us to get focused on the big things and to miss out on the details. The details are that every single one of us is indispensable. We are all needed. The details are that we need to make sure that we are in the right location and that we're building the right foundation. And certainly, God deserves our total dedication, because ultimately we're building to please Him. Amen.
Amen. Thanks to Mike for ending out the gift series. Just really taking us back to basics and reminding us of the greatest ministry of all that we want to just collectively direct our gifts towards, and that's the ministry of reconciliation and helping others have a relationship with God. As I said on Friday, this isn't the end, although it is in some respects, but it's really just the end of the beginning. And now we really having, you know, been doing a lot of looking inwards and understanding what we're about and how God has gifted us. It's now time to look outward, as Mike said, and just engage in specific ministries. But just before I tell you about that, just a round of applause to Mike, please. And then there are two surveys that we'd like you to fill out if you didn't get one on Friday. One is just about the program itself and just comments on the program. And then the other one, no doubt God's been putting things on your heart, and there are existing ministries that you can get involved in or new ministries that you've got an idea about that you'd like to just initiate and get support on that. So please, both parts of the survey are on the stage. Pick one up and give it to any one of the members of the gifts team, and we really look forward to seeing what God will do through us and through our understanding, certainly the understanding we've gained over the last 10 weeks. And now over to Paul for some announcements.